Blog Talk Radio.
Mythology, you know,
yeah.
really being psychologically separated from your own body, and tattooing really brings one psyche to completion with one's body.
All right, good. So, you know, I'm thinking right now as you're talking that people might have a question about, if the tattoo hurts, how does it bring you back into touch with the body? It seems quite contradictory.
Well, there's a lot of things about tattooing that are kind of an ordeal. Cost a lot of money. It's a luxury item, not a necessity for your life.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, it's still shelter. So it's pretty interesting taking it from a modern paradigm of what it is as a luxury item and giving it some sort of function to one's life. And it seems nonsensical, but
mm-hmm.
it does make sense to delve into it from a particular angle.
Well, I was really particularly intrigued about the idea of that it's being painful, but somehow reconnecting you and making you go back into your body rather than run screaming the other way. Why does that work like that?
Pain is essentially the fulcrum point of tattooing, what makes it cool and gives it, to make it badass.
That's a shaman term.
Exactly.
All right.
The pain is essential to tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps some people from getting tattoos. It makes it something to be earned,
whether
it's for fashion or not. Tattoos are definitely earned in that right. But pain, in a functional sense, what it does is it overwhelms one's psyche and bugs the ego. Hence why if you're going to grill someone for information, torture tactics, pain, kind of melts their ego away, makes them mess up whether they're telling the truth or not.
You'll get some kind of answer.
You may get an answer. pain is the one thing that will make you drop whatever image you're projecting. Enough to maintain ego.
Okay, good. Well, I'm curious as to your thoughts about how that, it's like the invocation of pain, how that works in terms of healing.
How do you put
that together with the tattoo and the image and that whole process?
It seems backwards. But, a lot of times pain is very paradoxical. Our life is paradoxical.
Mm-hmm.
And it works along the same lines as in psychology. We do have paradoxical therapy, which is exposing someone to the very thing that they're very afraid of. And basically getting them to be so submerged in it to the point where they realize that they're okay even though they're enduring it. So that's minimalizing the fear or pain. Actually, it kind of works in that, right? It works in a way, I know the way that shamans did it archaically, was that the pain was like a small dosage of death. And what they meant by that was it was death to the ego. Pain is to encounter a small portion of death.
To
be able to survive it means that you transcended death.
All right. So pain, and as I've heard you say before, pain is like this portal, like this consciously, intentionally inflicting of a wound, which is a route in to the center.
Exactly. It's like in medicine, get a flu shot, like being exposed to a small portion of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very thing that would make you ill. A small dosage of it over time, your body and mind create an immunity.
Okay. So how might that work? That you have a process in which pain is the vehicle for the administration, but you're applying energy. You're applying color and form, and you're doing it on a particular part of the body. So how does that work in terms of the healing, in terms of what you're intending?
First and foremost, it would have to do, or I guess boil down to the symbol that we've chosen.
Yeah.
All symbols have been ingrained in our psyche to have meaning, most of which the meaning comes to storytelling or mythology. So throughout the millennia, there have been symbols that represent certain things. But it's really ingrained in humanity to have been charged with meaning.
So you're like a shaman storyteller, but just writing body is almost like a Chinese painting.
Yes, precisely. And, you know, I just kind of get stoked about tattooing as it hasn't really been approached correctly. Or
mm-hmm.
correct. Systems haven't been put into place about how to use it.
Yeah.
So it's not very well respected. As I understand, but what's really true is people are picking images for a reason.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
And there's been some tattooers in history that have tried to explore this for some of the forefathers of modern Western tattooing, tried to explore this through gray analysis.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
Why they pick the tattoos that they do. It's quite the enigma, but people are going out of their way to do something that they don't need to,
mm-hmm.
which involves a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this impulse in people to be gravitated towards tattooing, towards the pain, and towards the imagery. Would you say that what's behind that is like a, and I think this is might be what you're saying, that what's behind that is an impulse to heal, a movement towards wholeness, really aware of it or not, that they're stepping towards wholeness.
Yes, yes.
Wholeness.
The cry to add a piece of themselves back together. The word remembering, remember,
certainly.
Remember a part of the body.
Yeah.
So it's like reattaching an aspect of themselves that they're longing for.
So you're performing, to put it in more shamanic terms, you're performing soul retrieval.
Exactly. That's precisely it.
Yeah.
Just the aspect of soul retrieval.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And when you do this and you place that.
Kind of a lot. Everyone experiences some different things, but there's always definitely a few things that everyone experiences. And one of which I would say to boil it down is people remember what they were. When people are children, we definitely view ourselves as being whole.
Yeah.
And as our lives stretch on, a lot of those things we have to forfeit in order to mend into society, aspects of ourselves. And so a lot of people remember what it is that basically makes their life worth living, and it makes sense. Aspects of themselves
okay.
and their retreat.
Okay. So what kind of changes have people reported?
A lot of, for instance, some people, stopped dreaming after particular traumas, and then they started dreaming again. Some people have a lot of creative influence after. Some people, a lot of everyone, I would say, usually experiences regaining confidence. Some people say that, athletes that have tattoos get the performance enhanced. You name it.
Uh-huh.
You name it. But it's really the person that steps into becoming a higher version of themselves. They're inches closer to self-actualization and not achieving.
So you're really exploring and presenting somatic kind of tattooing as a spiritual path,
mm-hmm.
as a very legitimate spiritual path and healing modality. Okay. And I'm also curious, what sorts of things are you going through when you are presenting and testing this?
Now I've gotten used to it, so it's not really as intense as it used to be. It's usually after if it's still intense for me. But before, it's usually tuning into the person, kind of feeling what it is or where they are in their own personal mythology, kind of within their story, where they are and what it is that they're longing for.
Okay. And how do you go about choosing an image to bring to that individual?
Usually what kind of comes forth is images that I see,
just
really seeing the image and decoding what the image means, and running it past them, and usually it's a validation. Yes or no, is it so? Usually it's yes.
Yeah.
And for there, speaking on the body where it needs to go,
okay.
metaphorically, which body part
is it on. So it's interesting. that, I think what you're saying is that you're very much operating out of the mode and the identity of a spiritual practitioner, not so much as just a technical, merely administering imagery, but you're engaging them as a healer. Yeah. And in terms of the imaging, in terms of the images that you choose, how much have you studied different cultures and imagery from history?
A lot. So all the time. And a lot of cultures have different meanings for things. It makes it be really tricky because sometimes the image seems like it has a different meaning, but in the end, you know, it ends up kind of being linked with other cultures. So
uh-huh.
It's a very large subject in its own, and I listen
yeah.
to it daily,
yeah.
still not even close to kind of finishing.
Yeah. So you're influenced by, from what I hear you say, it's like mythology and
yeah.
psychology
yeah.
and art history and all of that. Yeah.
And tattooing naturally has its roots in that, you know,
mm-hmm.
derivative of and has always represented the cultures that it's been
yeah.
touched
yeah.
by.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Because it's like, from what I know, it's like mythology. One of the definitions of mythology is the collective dream. It's like a dream. So in a sense, it's like gauging in the dream realm with people.
Yeah.
That you're actually placing dream imagery on their body.
Yeah.
That has its, that does its work at that realm, at that level.
Yeah.
And so it's in a sense, and you let me know if this is right. The tattoo is like a prescription. You're writing a prescription for that individual, for their soul. Okay. And how quickly do people experience the results?
Mostly pretty immediate, but they don't kind of come into full realization until a couple days later.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do they report it like occurring in their, I think we touched on it a little bit before, but in their dreams, in their lives, how they engage with people.
Absolutely both, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's such an interesting area. What might be going on with some people before they come to you that prompts them to want to get an image and medicinal healing image from you?
That's a very wide answer. But usually when I talk to someone, it comes up, you know, what I do, whether either really someone instructs the quote with them or not.
Yeah.
Usually there's a definite want.
Yeah. So, and I know that you're intuitive. So it's like, feel them coming to you beforehand, maybe even before you meet them?
Usually, I wouldn't say so, but it has happened. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Okay.
And usually in my life, I'll go through something similar.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going on with it. It's always very, the timing is perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. It's very interesting because it's like we live in a culture that is so first to anything that you know is even inconvenient.
Yeah.
And we want the immediate gratification for things. But so I like, you know, I like the idea of it going so against the culture. Which is so much of what shamanism and becoming a healing practitioner is about. you've done some extensive traveling in your work as well. So you've actually gone to other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And explored tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
And worked with local people and indigenous people and such. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
My travels have been in South America.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the last places this type of tattooing exists.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even name you a single person who does it. However, I've read that people are, deep in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And so I probably no one's really heard of them.
Yeah.
But it is documented that there are people still alive. Definitely one of the last places that's beautiful. But I went down there and definitely a difference between there and here in America, as it doesn't really take a lot of explaining to tell them what I do.
Uh-huh.
They just kind of get it and accept it.
Yeah. So I get that you're very well received and recognized as the practitioner and as the healer that you are.
Yeah.
That's quite fascinating. And what's it like coming back to the United States after that?
It's interesting. Definitely a change of gears.
Do other tattoo artists get what you're doing?
Here?
Yeah.
Not everyone. That's okay.
Yeah, because it seemed to be coming at it from a very different angle. A whole different kind of approach, and your interest in psychology and healing and being trauma. What kinds of things have you studied in that regard?
Quite a bit. Read a lot of books, took some courses, attended lectures.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. Definitely a lot out there in Western society. There's definitely not a lot that's good.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the curative industries, they're not really designed to actually cure.
Uh-huh.
They're designed to keep people coming back.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing that you have to do a lot of digging for.
Uh-huh.
You have to look at more so things of shamanism.
Yeah.
Archaic methods of healing.
Mm-hmm. Heal and heal the wounds, but the healing the soul.
Yeah.
Placing energy, placing items in the psyche, in the soul. So it's almost as if you're throwing it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Yeah.
To work with. That role of being one who does that in a society that does not particularly encourage or even recognize or understand that function. Okay. So how did you get there? How did that happen?
Some of which is, my life personally, I think the appropriate perspective kind of fit into something like this.
Uh-huh.
You definitely have to go through a decent amount of, and then when you start asking why about things, start getting even more questions. She's going to be able to start finding answers.
Uh-huh.
But definitely say a large interest of mine has been texting me,
uh-huh.
And that's just in itself. So always asking myself why I did it.
Uh-huh.
Get a tattoo, it really hurt.
Yeah.
Cost money, it's a lot of things. Yeah. So why you're doing something is nonsensical.
So it's interesting because it brings us to like some of your past and your history.
Mm-hmm.
And how you learn to be or be with the outside and outsiders, such and all that informs your capacity to engage soul in an authentic way. And so many of us do you have any equivalent experiences that you could point to that pressured you?
There's one that was a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got hit a few more times, so that definitely, you know, being injured is a sort of thing.
Yeah. So it introduced you to pain.
Yeah.
In a particular way. So being a shaman of pain. The greatest tattoo of all. Tattoo, but taboo is what I wanted to say. So that was a Freudian slip. The greatest taboo of all in society is pain itself.
And engaging with it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Having that kind of relationship or a particular perspective on pain, does it make you sensitive to when you see
it? Yeah, oftentimes you're able to articulate it through the nail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have a certain diagnostic skill in terms of understanding what that soul means. So how do you bring that into the tattooing process? What do you think?
Mainly just verbally.
Uh-huh.
I talk to the person, really when it's to open up about it.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of go back and forth, use conversation.
Okay. So you counsel a person first before you even engage with them. Then a lot of tattoo artists.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You just show up, and if you got the money.
It is very different. This is mandatory. You know, tattooing can be many different things. It depends on whatever the individual wants.
Totally.
But yeah, mine in particular is definitely a little bit more of an ordeal.
Uh huh. Okay. And I like the idea because I've seen you work and the spirit of full disclosure, you have tattooed me.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a kind of a ritual and a protocol that you engage in. So how does that work with the person?
Oh, the ritual? Tattooing itself is an ordeal or ritual. What I mean by that is it's somewhat of markers to the psyche to validate that a particular event is happening.
Yeah.
You know, the birthday party or celebration of any time.
Mm-hmm.
We do those things to simply validate our reality for our psyche.
Uh-huh.
That an event happens. It's very important for the psyche because validation is a admitted first.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So validation is key.
Okay, so it's a moment of truth.
Yeah. And it brings one into the felt presence of immediate experience.
And yes.
The here, the now. A lot of people engage with meditation for that reason, or even do drugs for that reason. People want to be in the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is to take a little bit of a musical break. Okay, and then we'll come back while we discuss it. That's good.
So that was Earthwalk by our dear friend Bradley J. Smith. And I'm back with tattoo artist, shaman extraordinaire, Phil Mayhew. We're talking about his work. I wanted to get into a little bit about, I would say, your spiritual growth and your own exploration of shamanism in terms of what you've done, study-wise, ritual-wise, travel experience. Right.
It involves the use of land, the earth, color, fire, sand, and all of these things. Has that helped you in terms of your tattoo work, in terms of how you engage with people?
Absolutely. That's a good idea. Putting together a ritual helps, having the first hand experience, engaging with people at that level. You know, tattooing in a big sense is, like I said before, a big ritual, kind of like being able to lead the experience appropriately. Having that experience is definitely good.
Okay. And have you ever had anybody who was like frightened of the work for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no need for that.
Yeah, well, how have you handled that? What have you?
You know, it's just really, how do I put it? Really just basically being in charge, whether the person's scared or not, just making them do it. You know, being able to coerce it, just getting the person to kind of trust you, I guess. So I'm having such a large sense of certainty that they'll say yes to particular things and taking them through the experience and in the end having them be okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And when you look at their lives and it's sometimes a case where somebody is not wanting to something, not wanting to face something. And how has that worked with individuals?
You know, like I said before, is kind of going through a tattoo can help someone face it. Like having a tangible thing to actually engage with to face a fear or an issue. So that helps with like the ritual aspect. Someone can participate and engage they're a little bit more willing. Kind of like a pain can be an anesthetic in that sense.
Uh-huh.
So when someone's in pain, it's somewhat easier to talk about an issue, say something, as a distractor. So, you know, even stuff that I've worked in, I found a lot of any tattooer would admit that when they tattoo people, regardless of why they're doing it, people tell them all their problems and,
unload. Yeah, exactly. So there's like that very natural counselor aspect of the role.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like a natural priestly-type role, priestly-type function, where one confesses, one purges, one goes through the purging experience with it.
Yeah.
And then painting a redemption, a retrieval of being made whole.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Adding something new to themselves. Or
yeah.
Completing or altering their body in a way that changes their view or perception of themselves positively.
Mm-hmm.
It's like re-engaging with a relationship with themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So in a deeper sense, it's like this, you know, it's so analogous to a sacrament, the sacrament of communion.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. It is just a sacrament.
Yeah. So it's almost to say, it's like, this is my body, this is my blood, but no, you know, it's even deeper than that. This is your body. This is your blood.
Yes, precisely. Body ownership.
Yeah.
You know, re-engaging with body ownership. People allow society to furnish their body, not their own.
Yes.
You know, and you see this through a lot of different ideological avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Religion. You know, even if there are religious texts that you're not even allowed to tattoo yourself.
Yeah.
Things like that kind of tell you what to do with your body, circumcision, you know, society, putting out a standard for both genders, of what it thinks it should be near impossible to achieve. So a lot of people live in a state of without when it comes to their own body and not feeling like they're in charge or even within themselves.
Yeah. And I ask that to kind of like present and frame the absolute importance of what you're doing, because it is in essence giving people back their lives, giving people back themselves in a real and absolute and visceral sense. Allowing them to experience that they own themselves. They own themselves. Which, when we think about, you know, the state of the world in terms of like oppression, different, you know, groups and communities and peoples and such, it's like that's the essence of what holds them down is the lack of self-ownership.
Also what he actually survived many years in outsiders.
Yeah.
And this is also part of the taboo of it being a mark that they belong to a particular group.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals were outsiders, so they didn't have to play the society standards.
Yeah.
So they also engaged with the taboo of sovereignty. This is what they were doing already with their lifestyle and their commitment. Their chosen path, they were engaging with the ultimate taboo of being sovereign or owning oneself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like the, you know, looking into it at that level, it's like the pain aspect is so key because of it being that big, that main tattooed on a societal cultural level. And it designates one as one who has mastered the pain. Which is, interestingly enough, it's such a Christian kind of message.
Yeah.
You see, but, you know, Master, show me the mark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yes, I have done this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Show me the scars, show me the marks, show me the what you suffered.
Yeah.
This is why you have the authority of the transcendent.
Precisely, yeah, precisely. And yeah, it's very, you could say it's very Christian in a lot of ways. Just in the flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, it's extremely visceral.
Yeah, exactly.
However, the Christian church is very into not allowing the fact the individual can own themselves or own their transformation to a degree, and then you're supposed to stop.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to change your body? Well, you can't do that.
Don't go there.
But however, the fact is that it's important for individuals to go there in a lot of ways. Some people body build, some people dye their hair. You know, there's all sorts of things that people do, and pretty funny tattooing area kind of gets tacked off in people's minds. Some people view it as, why would you do that? You know, it's barbaric, but these are the same people, you know, getting the plastic surgery and all sorts of other things that are painful ordeals to change your body.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that exists in our society, but tattooing in its own right, I think, is a little bit more in-depth and complex than some of the other body modifications.
Yeah.
I think that's something that people haven't really explored yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because when I think about it, it is also presents a certain attitude towards the deity that created your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you know, as they say, you are in his image.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, you are, there's a sense of defying God.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you defy God?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's there's some deep stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Rather deep stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Around it. I mean, even within, like, the Islamic traditions of not even representing the body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not even doing that, but then taking it and changing it,
mm-hmm.
presenting the audaciousness of changing that.
Yeah.
Is claiming of a level of power.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, even, you know, when you start to look at it at that level, you look at, like, the changes that are happening in the world now,
mm-hmm.
where we're being collectively challenged on a societal level and being told by authorities that don't own you.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do this, you shall not do that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like it's going there.
Yeah.
To which I would thinking, I suspect that it makes this consciousness of sovereignty that much more important,
mm-hmm.
and that much more charged. A charged thing at this time.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's definitely gotten a lot more mainstream than it once was. It's happening pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
But I think, however, still what we're seeing some taboo society allows people to really own their own body, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
Too much of a commercial profit.
Yeah, exactly. So in a sense, it's almost like, you know, I think of like, it's interesting, it's like, by joining the military, you essentially don't own your body anymore. You become government issue.
You become
a GI. But they're the ones getting the tattoo. You see, so in a sense, certain way, as stealing yourself back.
Oh, yeah, the reclamation.
Yes, it is a righteous theft of self.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. So you help people feel themselves back.
Basically, yeah. And that's really the essence of anything anyone tells me, when tell me why they yearn for healing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just like I'm asking for themselves back.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like just to look at the distress behind the yearning.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if they've been stolen from.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
That there has been this vague yet all-encompassing violation that no one has not articulated yet.
Exactly, yeah.
But just simply by engagement in normalcy, you are in a status of having been stolen.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That you are a victim of theft just by engaging in the normal and the mainstream theft. And so what you might be seeing is people coming into a consciousness that they go, oh my God, this is what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are verbalizing it, you know, using words, this is where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so it's really the tattoo thing that's been validating and really give them something to, I guess, be an amulet or like a souvenir of that encounter.
Yeah. Almost like a symbol that they have indeed met truth.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's very, very important, like a very, very profound thing. So in terms of healing, just to kind of follow this thread, it's like could it be the corrosive manifestation of living outside of truth?
That's really what it is. Yeah. Living outside of your own truth, but truly things start to hurt.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. And so you're doing a corrective.
Yeah.
A corrective, very, very conscious administration of medicinal pain.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, the pain is sort of like the bitter medicine that you know you need it.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a soul level, you know you need it.
Precisely. Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. To kind of map out that people come through this journey, maybe unconsciously, they've not worked it out.
Yeah.
But they feel.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and there's kind of a set path for everyone within their own mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to really actualize that is through storytelling.
Uh-huh.
It's really symbolism, metaphor, symbolism.
Yeah.
Works with art, and a big portion of our brain, our parts of our brain only understand that.
Yeah.
And only articulate through that.
Yeah.
So there's a way of really bringing someone validation on that's where they are in their own mythology. Self-actualization.
Exactly. Because it's like when I look at tattoos from this very, very conscious perspective, I think of it as like the metaphor to stained glass that you would see in a cathedral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, stained glass. Meaning that if we follow the whole notion that your body is the temple, sacred temple, and that the imagery on the surface, where the light shines through, where there's enlightened through and such, tells the story of the passion.
Exactly. Yeah.
The death and the rebirth, and it's this constant reminder.
Yeah.
That so this imagery is the stained glass.
Oh yeah. Much where there's so much imagery in religion. You look at the temple, that's why they decorated it. With its own language, and buildings are designed to be an alchemical test tube.
Just
designed for you to enter and have a transformative experience.
Precisely.
So if you etch your body in the same way that a temple looks, it creates your body into a temple, a functional, religious, mythological temple.
Yes, it is. There is that level of acknowledgement. Another word term for that would be self-realization. So it's very interesting because when you work, on people and such, I've been aware, I think I've kind of talked about it before, that there's so much going on energetically over and beyond the actual physical experience of the administering of the image, that there's an energetic process happening, you know, kind of at every level.
Absolutely. You know, even after the test, even things happen. And that's what makes you back every time. So definitely been a nice experience for me in that sense, where it's like I get someone to test these tests, not the end of the experience. Just continues to roll on. And if you were to talk to most people that have tattoos, they could all tell you that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly testify to that. That is true. That in the very process itself, there's an energetic exchange, and that a lot more is happening in the moment, that there's actual transformation occurring in the process. And I would say with you, much more than just a regular tattoo experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. For obviously, just regular tattoo experience is pretty
cut and dry.
It's cut and dry, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yes, in comparison, it's, you know what you're getting, you know what the deal is, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And so part of the reason why we're doing this kind of discussion is important. It's kind of like a forewarning.
Yeah.
Letting people know that there's much more.
Mm-hmm.
More of an experience than just the imagery. They're entering into it by feeling with someone who is qualified, bring them through that passage.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of times I get reports after that people end up getting injured or sick. So it's kind of like a common thing. I've had people that have tattooed multiple times and they're asking, like, oh, can you make it so I don't get sick this time? But, so there's just metaphorically a lot of transformation, you know, and even in how they get sick, what it is, it's always very metaphorical and related to it, you know. I've had people get eye infections. It's about facing the truth, viewing certain things in some ways. I've had people get like anything that involves a really sore throat, but speaking your truth, those sorts of things, like foot injuries, stepping into your future, stepping into your own, et cetera, so on and so forth, you know. People injuring the actual tattoo themselves in really bizarre ways. So, yes, going up on another bit.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll take one more musical break, and we'll come back and kind of talk about a bit more about where you're going, where you're taking it all. Okay.
Okay, and we're back. That was Dance of Ganesh by Bradley J. Smith. So, Phil, I know that you've done a fair amount of writing and research, and you do some teaching, lecture type of here in South America and such. I'd like you to maybe talk a little bit about how you are bringing this, your concept and this particular form and modality of healing and tattooing to the world, to society.
I've taken it a step at a time. Been doing more writing, those sorts of things, definitely trying to write or present about that subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, with this day and age, internet, everything, you know, really just getting out there and just kind of doing it. But lecturing is one thing. Lecturing, presenting it, and working on trying to write a book about it. It's been a task, but
yeah,
been working on it. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's really just getting out there and doing it.
Okay. All right. So you're available for anybody that hears this, hears this broadcast to contact you through the show page.
Yeah.
And maybe bring you to address their group or talk about the discussion on shamanism, tattooing, healing, and how that all works together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be excellent. Yeah, yeah. So, how do you see, ask you to play prophet for a little bit, how do you see, like, society evolving around these kinds of issues? Tattooing, imagery, arcane, and how is the culture moving? You're very much like a figure in the center.
Okay.
In the center of it all. How do you see it?
I see, well, currently, you know, if you want to put that, it's pretty big at the moment. Storytelling, mythology, Comic-Con is really huge, and that has directly revolves around storytelling and myth, and you see people dressing up as their favorite superhero, really engaging at every level that they possibly can with their favorite mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But I see definitely more of a need as the world kind of spins into distress, more of a need for orientation in what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to yearn more for any sort of orientation, which very typically throughout the millennia has been storytelling, or symbology, metaphor, et cetera.
Oh, okay. And I would think also in association with that, the need for different kinds of healing, on every level, maybe even a different view of health.
Yes.
You know, what actually constitutes health?
Yes. Whether or how fully you looking at it from that angle, which doesn't get done a lot of times. It really gets fragmented our health, the psychological.
Yeah. Exactly.
Separate thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or is that pain somehow is an indication of not in health?
Yeah.
When actually it may be the very route.
Yeah, even the same. Yeah. A lot of what we do or what we consider a test is pain avoidance.
Yeah.
You know, really stepping through the pain.
Uh-huh.
You grow.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I see what you're doing. Embodying the kind of paradigm shift that creates a new approach to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it actually, when I think about it, society has changed, and we are here in North America within actually a young society, an immature society.
pain and stress and distress and how that works in the process. So we have this culture of distraction, culture of avoidance, culture of numbing ourselves out. So, no, you have to ask, what does the process of maturing of a culture look like?
You know, one of which would be it would be integrating more humane practices within its own society. But, you know, our society is definitely robbing people of humane practices. So, treating humans as if they're subhuman, objectification, sort of thing, not allowing people to be sovereign,
culturally, cobbling up the blind spot.
Yeah. A lot of people feel they're forced in a particular ideology,
uh-huh.
gender, or whatever they may be.
Yeah.
So they feel they have some really good need to subscribe to themselves.
Precisely, Yeah, because I see, you know, when I look, you know, how I perceive things, I see certain individuals and people like yourself fitting into this whole function, into this great story of how do we collectively mature. Who are the agents of that process?
Yes.
You see, the cultural, you know, catalyst. And to be able to do it consciously, intentionally, on purpose, and from a very wide awake perspective. You know, I think about that movie, Lenny, with Dustin Hoffman talking about Lenny Bruce, and being that kind of figure, where he said that society needs the deviant.
Yes,
but we need that. Otherwise, we. We're stuck in the 50s. We're running around trying to make America great again. In a form that it never existed.
Yeah, precisely.
So it's like who saves us from that level of loss?
Yes. The trickster.
Exactly the one who challenges. Who challenges the norm at its most essential level.
Yes.
The tyranny of normalcy, as I like to call it.
Yes.
Call it. First you have to, to have people recognize that they are being tyrannized by it.
Yes, exactly.
In order for the medicine to be administered.
Precisely. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. For even that medicine to be seen as valuable. So what you're doing is something that's being brought into the collective, it's being brought into the whole. And so do you see yourself like teaching at some point, replicating yourself, your style, your approach? I would kind of get that too, that you would be communicating more about this level of engagement as a practitioner, as a healer, as an artist. So on the show page here, there are some examples of your work.
Yeah.
And also, somebody wanted to get in contact with you. How might they do it?
I have all my contacts so on my website, steamwalkerstechnique.com.
Okay.
You can go on there, under the contact page, find all my social media, email.
Sleepwalkerstattoo.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very, very good. All right. Well, I want to thank you for talking. This has been quite fascinating. penguin tattoo artist, healer, Phil Mason. Okay. Thank you, and till next time.